It's Wednesday, and we're approaching week four in the NFL here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. Thank you for joining us, whether that be on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch. And, of course, all of our fabulous podcast listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Podcaster Castro, and so forth. Thank you for joining us. Glad you could be here on another week. And like I said, it is week four in the NFL already. I mean, last week I couldn't believe it was week three. And now here we are sitting here week four. I mean, it's unbelievable how quickly time flies. And especially when you've got a winning team like we do with the Eagles, the season is going by pretty quickly. And that's our opponent coming up this Sunday at 1 o'clock in the link at home with Dougie Peterson, our former coach, Super Bowl winning head coach, former quarterback of the Eagles at one point. You know, he wasn't the best quarterback in the world. He's a little bit of a worm burner, but he was a great coach, won a Super Bowl. People love him. A lot of people think that are not quite sure of the reception that Dougie's going to get. I'm going to call it right now. I'm going to say it right here, and I'll get your take. I think Dougie is going to get a lot of cheers. There's a statue out front for a reason. Philadelphia fans get a lot of bad rap for having a jail in Veterans Stadium, hitting Santa with snowballs, which happened before I was even born, for crying out loud, for their general behavior, drunkenness behavior. But I'm going to go on record and say this once and for all. That is a stereotype, my friend. I think that Eagles fans can be unruly, and I dealt with some unruly Eagle fans in Detroit, but no worse than any other Eagle fans in the NFL. And they're surely not as bad as the Bills Mafia out, you know, doing friggin' dropping people through tables and friggin' throwing dildos on the field, or the Seahawks. I mean, seriously. Or the Seahawks booing their longtime quarterback Russell Wilson in the opener this week, or the Cowboys booing Dak Prescott as he's going carted off injured because he was losing the game against Tampa Bay. I think that the Eagle fans are going to welcome Dougie back home with kind of open arms. And then once the game starts, you know, then it's on. But I think he's going to get one heck of a reception. People always wanted him to do well. And we talked about it Monday. I don't think that the people hold him responsible for the Eagles' failures, you know, after the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people hold several different things happened to the Eagles to keep them from winning another Super Bowl under Doug Peterson. So what do you think Doug will get? Do you think there'll be any boos at all, or do you think it'll be all pleasantries?
You know, I watched the press conference with Doug when he was asked this question. And, you know, every time, you know, somebody says those fans always have to stop and think, like, dang, man, they're talking about me personally. Like, I'm not from Philadelphia, but I'm from Camden, New Jersey, which is damn near a suburb of Philadelphia. We're about as close to Philly as you can almost get without being in Pennsylvania, if you will. So when they talk about that environment, that's the environment I grew up with. They talking about us. Eagles fans, it's not that they're unruly. It's just a blue collar area. And, you know, anytime you're in the blue collar area, blue collar people are tough, man. They work hard and they like their team to play well when they get off of work, you know, and rinse and repeat. We're not shy individuals by far. You're really just describing an East Coaster, especially, you know, that New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware area, man. And with all that said, with the Eagles being 3-0, I think the city of Philly is in a good mood right now. There was a lot of anxiety going into this season to see what we're really going to get with this team and how much we've mortgaged and how many things we've moved around to be at this point. And then one of the people that we moved is coming back into town in Dougie P. So I think they'll cheer him on, one, because they have no reason to boo him. You know, like you said, like he didn't go out flipping the birds. He didn't go out doing that. If anything, he never said he wanted to leave. He wanted to stay. They got rid of Dougie P. Howie and the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, got rid of Dougie P. And I think the Eagles fans know that. And he has one thing that nobody in the history of Philadelphia Eagles franchise can say, and that's he won a Super Bowl. Now, we won an NFL championship before, but we've never won a Super Bowl. So, and there is a statue. We remind it of that accomplishment every time you walk into that stadium and you see Dougie P and Nick Foles out front. You want Philly, Philly. I think they'll cheer for Doug. Anybody that boos, it'll be sarcastically. And Doug kind of even alluded to it too. He's like, look, that's a, you know, he's played there and he's coached there. He's like, you know, that's a, you know, I don't know what to expect, but he kind of said that, you know, with what I've accomplished, I would expect cheers, and they should cheer Dougie P. Now, if the Eagles were 0-3, maybe they're just in a pissy mood. They show up just like, I'll forget you, Doug. But I think they're in a happy mood. I think this is a winnable game for the Eagles, so they'll show up with some spirit, and I think they'll give Peterson his due, and then it's back to playing Eagles football.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, he mentioned some things about, is the statue still there? I hope it's still there. You know, I thought the cute stuff, and then it was, yeah, I think that even if the Eagles were 0-3, I think that they would wish he was back there with them. So there's some people who still wish he was the coach. But so we're going to talk about the Jaguars game today. We're going to preview that. Before we do, let's get some business out of the way and talk about some of the Eagles news going into this game. And another defensive player of the week winner. Yeah, this time Brandon Graham for his 2.5 sack performance, which was, it was even more dominant than that. He ends up as the NFC defensive player of the week. Last week it was Darius Slay. First week of the season, special teams player of the week was McPherson. So every week this year, the Eagles have had a player of the week in one category or another. So congrats to Brandon Graham on that honor. It just goes to show you, when you've got a good team, you're getting nominated, you're getting noticed, and you're getting, you know, accolades like this. And how could you not nominate somebody from the Eagles defensive team? That was a heck of a defensive performance. They could have given it to the whole defensive line in my, you know, regards how right. I think it is. So yeah, congrats to Brandon Graham. Also, just if you haven't noticed, Eagle fans, if you haven't really been paying attention, there are only two undefeated teams left in the 2022 season, and it's only week four. Usually we get, you know, multiple undefeated teams by this time, but only two. And look at this. It's just the Eagles and the Dolphins. I think going into this season, there weren't a lot of people that would have said these would be the only two undefeated teams in the league. Right. If you were to ask that question, I think we thought the Eagles would be undefeated at this point just by looking at the schedule. We thought there was a good chance with their team, but the Dolphins definitely not. So this is a really good. You can't talk playoffs and Super Bowl yet, but it is pretty impressive to see these two guys, these two teams at the top of the heap right now. And it just is great to see the Eagles getting some recognition. And how could you not give them recognition? They're number one in the NFL power rankings. They were number three the week before. But, of course, the Chiefs got beat. The Bills got beat. And that's it. We leapt over those two teams. And once you get over those, you're over the hump. You're number one. They couldn't really put those guys number one after the Chiefs lose to the Colts and the Bills lose to the Dolphins the way they did. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that the Eagles are going to be sticking around at the top of the heap for forever. I mean, this is a long season, right, and they're bound to have some bumps in the road. But for right now, let's enjoy it going into this week four matchup and kind of put things into perspective, is that we've had as good of a start as we've had in Philadelphia for a very long time. And so looking at the connection between the Miami Dolphins and the Eagles, this is a great picture here. You've got Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts when they were at Alabama together. And then after this, the picture next to it is them now, the only undefeated teams left in the NFL. We mentioned a little bit about this on Monday during the recap when we were talking about these two guys and all that they've been through to get where they're at. They both have been able to overcome doubts, overcome criticisms in their career, and they're playing some of their best football right now. And I think it's pretty cool to see them both at the top of the heap. And with those accolades come other bonuses and other things that happen in your life, as been evidenced by the news out of Philadelphia that owner Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are starting to formulate a plan to give Jalen Hurts an extension early. Now, this is from Jeff McClain via the Philadelphia Inquirer. So that brings us to our next topic for today. Jalen Hurts, he's coming up for, you know, his rookie contract's going to be due. We did this dance with Carson Wentz, but albeit Carson Wentz had the great season in 2017, but he was also having issues with his injuries, and we weren't really sure if we were going to be able to count him. Hence why they drafted Hurts in the first place, because they had doubts about Wentz and his injuries. But they still gave him a big contract that they had to unload. Luckily, they were able to get some of that shifted off of the Eagles. Is it time, in your estimation, to be talking big contract with Jalen right now at week three? Or is it, you think it may be a ploy to make Jalen feel good, and this is nothing they're going to work on until the end of the season? I don't know.
I think, you know, going back to my little soliloquy at the end of the pod, you know, talking about Jalen and Tua, you know, here's a fun fact for you. Not a fact, but here's just a thought when I was thinking. I said, man, how do we even know that Jalen even wants to stay in Philadelphia? See, here's where it goes back to the total treatment of a player. Now, you can franchise them, but we all know that players aren't happy to be franchise tagged, unless you're like Kirk Cousins and you should just be grateful. But most players that know that don't want to live to that year, the year, you know, they know they have that talent. Was Jalen's 23, maybe 24. He's still super young. Jalen may not even want the contract. He may not even want it, man. You know, there's so many things. I don't think that Jalen Hurts even trusts the Eagles so far yet. You know, I think he's had such a, with the exception of these 3 weeks, he's had such a negative environment around him in Philadelphia, mostly from the fans. So I think it's in, like, Howie's in them best interest, because, like I've said this before, and I said it last week, they know that any team in the NFL, especially when you look around this NFL, would love to have Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback. So it's in their best interest, but Hurts may not feel it's in his best interest. Is it too early? Hell yeah, it's too early. Man, we've it's three games. You know, I know the field goal, the post has been moved a little bit when it comes to the Eagles, because everybody thought the Vikings were good. Then we beat them. Now the Vikings aren't good all of a sudden, even though they're 2-1. Right. But because we beat them, and because it's so easy to be down or doubt Jalen Hurts, you can go, OK, now that team can't be good because they lost to Jalen Hurts. It's the goalpost moving all the time when it comes to the Eagles. I think we should wait, man, and see how this season plays out. It's in the Eagles' best interest to sign him, but I don't know if it's Jalen's best interest to even listen to the noise. I think people underestimate how much they beat Jalen down from his rookie season to last year. Like those 2 years of being in Philly and just feeling that pressure from the city, I think it could be a little underrated. Is the effects it could possibly have on him. So I hope that Jalen stays in Philly, but we never know, man. There could be a bigger offer out there. And I see them franchise tagging him, because name a quarterback that was drafted in his last draft that's having any success in the NFL right now.
Are you talking
Where are you going?
Are you talking about 2021?
Right, just the previous draft, this year's draft or last year's draft,
right?
Last two drafts,
right?
You know, Trevor Lawrence is starting to come on, but most of these guys, we don't. You look at the MVP, you know, Wilson, he's been hurt, and you know, Burrow. No, granted, Burrow, I will give Burrow. He's on his third year, granted. Yep. Burrow's on his third year, so the last 2 years, he's not in that conversation. Meaning, there hasn't been any quarterbacks that's come on the scene and just explode and led their team. So you have to be very cautious that when you have a leader, Jalen is very well respected amongst the men in that locker room. That goes further than people can even imagine, just having the respect of 52 men, you know, besides yourself in that locker room. So, yeah, man, a little long-winded on that because it's such an interesting topic. But I think 3-0 is way too early to make any noise. any noise, even from a reporter, Clark, is everything so enticing about the Eagles right now. I think all of that's way too early, man. When you have a quarterback that's still going to – Jalen ran 9 times last game. I think that's still way too many runs. It's about 5 too many runs for a quarterback that you want to have for the long term. You look at Lamar Jackson's situation. I think the reason why they didn't automatically hit the button and pay Lamar is because of his injury towards the end of the season last year. Right. Lamar Jackson has more touchdowns than 30 NFL teams right now. Lamar himself has more touchdowns, has accounted for more touchdowns than 30 NFL teams. But yet they're wondering if they're going to pay him or not. That's you know, it's just insane. But it comes from this high risk that he's taking. He's a high risk athlete. So is Jalen Hurts. They didn't see Carson as a high risk guy, but those injuries lingered. But they still gave him $100 million.
Right.
That we had to, we never got our money back from that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We never got the value from $100 million. So yeah, man, I think if Jalen has a good year, I don't know if we can afford him and still have a good team. It's a lot to unpack there, man.
Yeah.
He may be worth about $40 million. You never know.
I mean, we'll see how it goes. I think you're right. I think that they are going to take a wait and see approach, but I think it is smart, in my opinion, for them to start talking about it now, because then Jalen knows they're talking about it. I think this is more of a little bit of that game that they do, put it out there in the press. Hey, we're looking at extending him now. We have all the faith in the world. They did the same thing with Wentz. They wanted Wentz to know that he was the guy until they drafted Hurts. Mm-hmm. And then it was, oh, we're not quite sure if you're the guy. And it's just the way it worked out. It was the right move, because there are people now after the Commanders game last week that he's now gone down the line as one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. People are now starting to notice how he holds on to the ball too long and those things. So I think to look at it right now, I will say this about Jalen Hurts. And I've told you how I feel about Jalen. I think we both are on the Jalen train. And there's a lot of fans out there that are doubters. There's some that are coming around. And like you said, you make a really good point. People are saying right now, well, wait till we play a good team. We've played good teams this year, and we're about to play another good team. And so you can't just discount the competition. There's no other undefeated team in the league, and everybody's playing the same type of schedule. You name me who the best team in the league right now is and who they've played, if you don't think it's the Eagles. So that all being said, mm-hmm. when I look at Jalen Hurts, I've said it the preseason, what I've been learning about him last season and then this season, and this report came out from John Clark, a Philadelphia reporter. He follows the Eagles, and he basically – I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what's interesting about this report, it talks about what Shane Steichen says about Jalen and about how he is extremely impressed about Jalen and his work ethic. And he says in there, he doesn't leave the building. Like, this guy is here all day, every day. All he cares about is football. When all you care about is football, you're going to be successful. That's what he does. It's all he thinks about. He never takes days off. I mean, he's always working. Shoot, on Friday, we met after practice this week. I'm walking through the weight room, 4:00. Kind of everyone is gone, and he's in there working. And he goes on just to say, 8:00 at night, Jalen's in there working. He's in the weight room. He's in the tape room. He is learning. He is trying to prep for the next opponent. Now, contrast this, and I don't mean to slag anybody, but contrast this with a guy like Kyler Murray, who has gotten a reputation now of not staying long enough to watch tape. He'd rather play Call of Duty. He'd rather hang out with his friends, and he puts in enough work. It's not like, you know, he doesn't do his 9-to-5, but he doesn't do beyond that. He's getting the rep where he, and it's showing with the results on the field. Talented guy, but not putting in the work. Mm-hmm. And what I've heard about Jalen is this, I love hearing this about I've always wanted a quarterback that was this mm-hmm. way. You hear about Peyton Manning. You know, you heard about Peyton Manning, his whole career was a guy who couldn't get to leave the building. So obsessed with football. Right. And it showed on the field. The best mm-hmm. quarterbacks are the ones who work themselves to death. That's just a proven fact. So if this is what
it's
he is.
It's just a proven fact, yeah.
So if this is who he is, I would definitely start talking about the extension now, and I would definitely, you know, see how the rest of the season goes. But it's got to be a big one. You can't hurt the team. He's got to understand that we need to continue to build. I think we need to keep the team we've got together right now. We need to keep them together for a few years. And I think we can, because these all aren't superstars. We don't have any Aaron Donalds on this team. We have a lot of guys that are considered B tier, but are playing A tier right now. So I hope they do extend him, but we'll move on to that. And we'll get into this Jags preview here in a second. I did want to share a couple of things. Just some Eagles facts going into this game. This past week, our beloved AJ Brown has passed JJ Arcega-Whiteside on the all-time receiving yards list. AJ has 309 yards, and JJ, all he ever amassed was 290. I mean, come on, dude. That is crazy. But yeah, that's how bad JJ was. JJ soon to be on a practice squad near you, if he's not already. I think the Seahawks may have already cut him. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. He's gone. It was a bad pick, and we're moving on from that. In a similar vein, which is just interesting, Doug Peterson coming here to play the Eagles with his new team, the Jaguars, is now tied with Urban Meyer for the fifth most coaching wins in the Jaguars franchise history. He's only coached 3 games. He's won 2 of them. And he's tied Urban Meyer already. That just shows you the type of guy, though, that Doug is. And a lot of people may not give him the credit for the success in Jacksonville right now. But his staff, if I watched the Charger game back, and I was really impressed with the coaching on both sides of the ball for the Jaguars. I thought that they it was really an interesting game to watch back going into this week to kind of gauge who our opponent is. And I found it to be a little bit concerning, as far as, not that I don't think the Eagles can handle them, but I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park like Washington and Minnesota was. I think this could be more like the Detroit game, even though it's at home. I think this could be a slugfest. One of the things that I noticed is that, now granted, Herbert was, Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Chargers, the Jaguars' last opponent, he was injured. He has that fractured rib cartilage, which, geez, I never want fractured rib cartilage in my life. So he had difficulties throwing the ball. But the Jaguars, what I noticed was they play the same type of press man that the Commanders do, which is going to frustrate Jalen a little bit. That's going to make it hard to run. They shut down anything that Eckler tried to do. Same thing with Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis when the Jaguars played him. They take away the run with that high-pressure man up in the box defense. So the guy that they picked, their first-round draft pick, Lloyd, it's all over the field. He's a freaking terror.
Yeah,
he's making an impact. And they've got a lot of no-name players on the defense that just play at extremely high level. And on the offensive side of the ball, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to light you up. He's not throwing for huge, huge numbers. But he's dinking and dunking his way against teams like he did against the Chargers. They're relying heavily on their run game with ATN and Robinson, who had amazing games against the Chargers. And then they're getting the ball spread around to whoever's there. They've got Christian Kirk, who's doing well. You got Marvin Jones Jr. that's doing well. Zay Jones, who's playing well. And Evan Ingram. You've got a decent set of receivers there. They got a good offensive line. So going into this game, it's a little concerning. I mean, you could say, if we look at their last opponents, you look at who they've played versus who the Eagles played. I mentioned that the Chargers, they blew out 38-10, which it was ugly. The Chargers did absolutely nothing on offense, and this is supposed to be one of the better offensive teams in the league. And then they did the same thing to the Colts, shutting them down 24-0. And then they lost the opener to Washington. They started off slow. It's hard for me to count the week one, because everybody's just kind of getting out of that preseason mode. So we could throw away both of our wins in week one. I look at this, and I see the Eagles win over the Vikings 24-7 and the win over the Commanders 24-8. I see these guys very, very equal in what they're doing right now. Both of them have pretty solid offenses and pretty good defenses right now that are shutting teams down. I think this could be a really good defensive-type battle that we might be getting ourselves into. What do you think going in, just on the surface?
Yeah, man. Now, I, like-minded opponents are important. You know, I know it's week one, but Carson's a vet, man. So you would, you know, and he got a lot of, you know, veteran wide receivers, not a lot of young boys per se on Washington. They got some guys that's been around for, you know, at least 2 or 3 years. Us damn near shutting Washington out and them giving up 22. You know, that's helpful. You know, the Jaguars beating the Colts, putting up 38 points putting up 38 on the Chargers last week. Like, I get that Herbert's hurt, but they still put up 38 on that defense. Now, granted, Bosa got hurt in that game. They are dealing with a ton of injuries, but still, the Chargers were touted to have one of the best defenses in the NFL this year, and to give up 38 to the Jaguars shows how good the Jaguars are, I guess, because they have a lot of good players, man. You know, Devin Lloyd, I wanted Devin Lloyd out of Utah. If we look back at the draft preview, you know, Devin Lloyd was one of the guys I liked as well, too. He's having a hell of a season. They don't really get to the quarterback that much, which is good. Like, they have 7 sacks all year. We got 9 in one game. So that's a, you know, that's a big difference there for us. But their linebackers, like you said, man, Devin Lloyd, unbelievable. And this other guy, I can't pronounce, Aluokung, not familiar with him, but he has 22 tackles right there with Lloyd. You know, these guys are really getting after it. And Lloyd, what he's doing well, he's like our Kaiser White. He can drop back into coverage as well, too. He has 2 interceptions, 2 really good interceptions, too. So definitely not. I think this is going to be one of our toughest matchups of the year. One, Dougie P, this roster is still pretty much intact almost from even when Doug left, at least the core of it. You know, Kelsey, the linemen, Fletcher Cox, Jalen Hurts. Did Devontae Smith? No, Devontae was a rookie last year, right? Mm-hmm. So he don't know, maybe not the receiving core, but everybody else Dougie P is very familiar with. And he's very familiar with, you know, more importantly, Jalen Hurts. So there's a lot of keys there that's going to help the Jaguars, you know, because he knows what Hurts does well. He knows what he doesn't do well. Well, at least when he was the coach. He's going to look at some more tape because Jalen has gotten better.
Yes.
So they are going to have to look at some new tape and see what else he's doing. But I think if we get past the Jaguar, I think it makes us look really good because they shut out a Colts team that beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's really confusing. You know, I still don't know how good the Eagles are. I'm not on the train where I'm just like, bird, super. I'm just like, hey, 1 week at a time. You know, Eagles have been 3-0 before. We've been down this road, 3-0, 4-0, 5. You know, we've had some 5-1 starts, 4-1. We need to focus on our division, worry about the division, strike while the iron is hot in our division. I think that is what motivating the Eagles fans a lot more is not necessarily our away opponents, which we've already won 2 away games this year. That's dope, you know, so that's awesome. You can get 2 away wins early. Doesn't matter who they're against, their way. Yeah, man, I just think bringing it back full circle, man, Kirk, it's going to be hard to handle. Zay Jones is having a day. You know, he had a day last week. you know, but Zay has been one of those guys that's bounced around. He's been in Buffalo. He's been with the Raiders. You know, he's kind of bounced around. So we'll see, man. Definitely didn't see Jacksonville sitting at 2-1, but I'm also not surprised because I didn't think they were going to beat the Chargers. When you look at the schedule, you go, all right, maybe 1-2, but not 2-1. I think Doug has those boys playing really well. And it also shows that's why they fired Urban Meyer so quickly, because they knew they had the roster. They're like, get this guy out of here. We should be winning games. 3-4 years before that, they were a play away from going to the Super Bowl back when Jalen Ramsey was there. So these guys aren't like some bottom team that just kind of they think they can win as well, too. And I think that's why Urban got fired so quickly, because they looked around and go, look, man, we have the guys to do it. We drafted Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was going to go number one no matter who was first up. He was going number one off the board. So they're looking around like, man, we have a good quarterback. We have good receivers, we have good, man, what's going on? You got to go, Urban. So and you get a coach like Doug that come in, a guy that's played in the NFL, that's a big difference too. I think when a coach has played in the NFL and he's a Super Bowl winning coach, It comes with a little respect, man. So they see Doug coming in that locker room, Super Bowl champion and a former player. They're going to respect it, man. Especially if you're Trevor Lawrence, you're like, oh man, I have my head coach is a former NFL quarterback. He gets me when he speaks. I should actually listen because he knows what he's talking about. So yeah, man, I think it's going to be a tough matchup for the Eagles. I think we match up well with them. I do think the Eagles should win this game, but man, I think we have a hell of a fight on our hands on Sunday.
You know, it's interesting too, you say about Doug Peterson, and they couldn't say enough during the Chargers game of how much his players love him, and the Eagles players loved him here. And it just kind of, you know, we talked about a little bit on Monday why he's no longer the head coach, and there's a lot of reasons. Part of it was Carson Wentz's injuries, you know, performance. It definitely wasn't a lack of performance. You know, after the Super Bowl, they went right back. They just couldn't rely on Carson, to be honest with you. And I mentioned it. I said Schwartz should have been fired when he started to give up the soft zone coverage, and it hurt Dougie, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think Carson ever would have taken us anywhere, though, and so that was kind of rough. Everybody just kind of had to go. But his players love him, and it's showing in the way the Jaguars are playing right now. And if you look at these league rankings, they're pretty close. The Eagles have the edge in a lot of categories. But it's close. Points per game, it's Eagles are fifth and the Jags are seventh, at both of them at 28 points per game. At points allowed per game, the Eagles are only allowing 16 points a game, seventh in the league. Jaguars 12.7, fourth in the league. Yards per game, the Eagles are gaining 455 yards a game, which is number one in the NFL, which is amazing. But the Jags are in eighth right now with 380. Passing yards per game, Eagles over 300, 305, fourth in the league. Jaguars 257. This is where I'm talking about Lawrence isn't burning up the air. They're doing a lot of this on the ground, which is surprising, being it's, you know, Dougie Peterson, that they're not passing all the time. Rushing yards per game, the Eagles are doing great. A lot of this has to do with Jalen Hurts, 150 yards per game, which is crazy. And then, but the Jaguars 123 yards per game. That's 10th in the NFL. Eagles 7th. Time of possession, Eagles are right now 10th in the league. I think they're scoring fast and giving the ball back sometimes, and then they do go three and out occasionally. And then the Jags are sitting there at third in time of possession, which just shows that their defense is keeping teams off the field. Third down efficiency, the Eagles amazing, 48.9%, second in the league. Jaguars 40.5%, 11th in the league. Sacks, you mentioned it earlier. The Eagles have 12 sacks right now. Of course, having nine didn't hurt that number quite a bit. Second in the league. I know. And the Jags are sitting at 7 sacks, 12th in the league. And then lastly, interceptions. The Jags have 6 interceptions, first in the NFL. So it's Jalen is going to have to be really, really, really careful with the ball. And the Eagles are sitting at 6 in the league with 4 interceptions. So the numbers show, and you know, we could talk about who's played who, but they've had the common opponent in the Commanders, again, week one, hard to gauge, but the Jaguars have had a pretty, I wouldn't say an easy schedule, the Colts and the Chargers. We just don't really know what Colt teams are. I was totally shocked when they beat the Chiefs. Had the Chiefs run all over the Colts, I would have been like, okay, so that 24-0 by the Jags doesn't mean anything. But then when the Colts come out and beat the Chiefs, it's like, okay, who's who in this league right now? Is that just a fluke?
Big time.
Or what is it? So
big time.
I don't know. I really don't. And that's what worries me. Now, I do love the fact mm-hmm. that it's at home. The Eagles fans are going to be rocking. I just want them to be prepared for a fight so that they stay loud. Because a lot of times when a team comes in, they start shocking you. Maybe they go up 10-0. And then the fans just get mm-hmm. quiet. And now you're losing it because you're shocked that this team is handling you because you didn't value them. I don't think this mm-hmm. Eagle team will take them lightly. I think everything I see right now out of this team mm-hmm. is high prep. The biggest thing does come down to Gannon. How does he go after Trevor Lawrence? How does he go after those two running backs? Do we mm-hmm. we fill up the box and try to stop ATN and Robinson and then force – you know, Lawrence to air it out and throw it? If he does, he's got good receivers. I think it's a really, really, really even matchup on both sides of the ball. I think it's going to be a crazy good game. And it wouldn't surprise me. I was thinking about what I thought the score was, and I would say that I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere along the lines of like 24-17. And Eagles win at 20, maybe 24-20. I think that, and what it's going to be is maybe the Eagles – will be up like similarly to Minnesota and Washington, will be up like 24-10, give up a late touchdown or field goal, because Jaguars are going to hang around and then and hang on to hopefully beat this team. We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a rough
Trevor game. Trevor Lawrence, man, he's not making that many mistakes. Look at his stats, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, only took 2 sacks. That means he's getting the ball away. He's doing something with the ball when he gets it. He's not turning it over. No fumbles. I'm looking at it. No fumbles. Nah, no fumbles. So he hasn't been strip sacked. Like I said, 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. There's only 2 sacks. Man, that's going up against Bosa and Khalil Mack last week as well. So I know they got hurt, but still, that's still a really good, team. And that Colts defense, they play well against Patrick Mahomes, but they didn't play as well against Trevor Lawrence, man. So I think we definitely this is an underrated matchup. The one thing I think the Eagles have going for them is every week we've had a narrative. Week one is just simply, are the Eagles good? How are the Eagles this year? Just a question mark. It's just a, you can write whatever you want. It's just who is this team? We have a lot of new additions, AJ Brown. Second week we have the Rager hype, right? So that Rager storyline and Justin Jefferson, right? Still hanging on to that. Then week three, you have the Carson storyline. We're still holding on to that. Then you have week four, Doug Peterson coming in. So every week there's been a storyline going into the game that I believe kept the Eagles focused on the game because of those storylines. You know, even though they could be light or heavy, but if you look at it, oh, wait, Rager over Justin Jefferson. Oh, man, that's been such a thing for the Eagles. You couldn't get past it. And then, like I said, former quarterback, former coach, former number two overall drafted quarterback, not just another Eagles quarterback, but former number two overall draft pick. I mean, when the Eagles spend a second round pick on you, second pick on you overall, they're going to remember you forever. So then you got Dougie P, who is, is a statue out front of this guy that's coming in here to play this team. Of course. So there's been a narrative every week. So I just hope we can stay focused this week and just keep the gas on, man. Keep playing with confidence, man. But this is a hell of a squad that we have coming into Philadelphia on Sunday.
I agree. I think it's going to be, it's going to be a tough battle. I'm going to be nervous, but I'm going to enjoy it. And whatever happens, happens. It won't be the end of the world if they walk away with an L. They've got a really good favorable schedule, but it'd be really nice if they go 4-0. It would be it'd be amazing a start to the season with a lot of games left, but it would be awesome to see them continue to roll. Just one quick thing I'd like to share, some of my old tweets and stuff from Facebook that I find in time when it comes up in your history. And this one came up from September 26, 2010. So 12 years ago, and I put in great night, 80s night with the Zach FM crew back when I was a radio DJ. Going to the movies with the wifey, nice weekend so far. Oh, I'm back on the air tomorrow, so that's cool as well. And then at the very bottom, oh, and go Eagles, beat the Jags. And that was, and they did. Wow. They did beat the Jags. So I thought, I saw this week, and I went, well, maybe that's a good sign that I see that.
Look at the date, too.
I know, 2010, man. 12 years ago.
Yeah, just the September 26th. Yeah. Like, it's the 28th. It's like damn near, it's 12 years and 2 days. Yep. It's the same time of the year.
Yep.
Is my point. Like, we're probably planning roughly the same week, week 3 or 4, which, that's what I saw today. I said September 26th. Dang, that's right around the same time, man. Same time. And you were in England at the time, right?
I was. It's when I had met you when I got stationed there. Mm-hmm. I think we met in 2009, roughly thereabouts. So 2008, maybe. That's when I first got back there. So, yeah, it was an interesting time. And, yeah, I love it. I took it as a good sign. I'm taking it as a good sign. Anytime I see something like that, I'm going to take it as a good sign. So don't forget, everyone, this Sunday, and how can you forget if you're an Eagles fan, this Sunday at the Link is going to be time for the Eagles and the Jaguars. It is what it is. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to welcome Dougie back, and then we're going to try to crush him. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited, too. Thanks again for everyone for listening on our podcast. We really appreciate it. Refer us to other people, if other Eagles fans, even if they're not Eagles fans. Refer us to as many Cowboy fans as you can to tune in
Oh, yeah.
Whether that's on Spotify or Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Castro, Podcaster, Stitcher, so many others. If you actually want to reach out to us and tell us whether we're not on one of your podcast providers, you can hit us up at our email address, which is lee.byrd, that's B-Y-R-D, @eaglesdare@gmail.com. We welcome your suggestions and comments. Always glad to hear from you guys. So, and we'd be more than happy to read them on the air if you have something like we do during our fantasy show. Speaking of our fantasy show, we will be going back live on Facebook Live, Twitch, if Twitch is working. I heard today it had an outage. And YouTube to discuss fantasy football week 4. And I really don't want to discuss fantasy football anymore. I'm 0-3. And Tubby and I go up against each other this week, so I'm not looking at getting a win this week either.
Oh, man.
So it's been...
Oh, man. I saw that. I said, oh, this should be good.
I know, right? So we're going to have to unpack that on Friday. We're going to do that at 6 o'clock live. So if you have any fantasy football questions or comments and you want to hear from us, please tune into that. We'll be glad to share our insight. Well, not mine, Tubby's, because he's doing well. I suck. So I don't do bad with advice, but my team's horrible. But we'll talk about that on Friday at 6. So with all that being said, I'm going to turn it over for Tubby for his final words of the day.
As always, appreciate everybody stopping by the Where Eagles Dare podcast. To my birds, don't believe the hype. Keep your head down. It's only 3-0. Only 3-0. Let's get to 4-0. With that said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. We'll talk to you on Friday, guys.